We're going to continue in this worship series here, and the title of today is a spirit-centered worship. So we get to talk about worshiping in the Spirit. Worshiping in the Spirit is what we get to talk about this morning. And we pray that God's glory will be revealed, that He will be magnified, and that people will listen and be honest with themselves. And the gospel, a lot of times, you know, we live in a society where everybody gets offended, okay? And I'm glad I got offended one day. I got offended of the gospel. And you know what I had to do with it? I had to do something about it. I came to an altar and got saved after that. So I got offended because some dude preached the truth to me, and I was able to listen to that and process that and receive that wonderful gift of salvation. So we're going to read in John, the fourth chapter of the book of John, starting at the 19th verse. And this is where Jesus explains here about worshiping in spirit and in truth. So the fourth chapter, the 19th verse, we'll begin our reading. It says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've blessed us with once again, Lord. We pray for every individual that's here. We know that there's many needs that only you can meet this morning. And we know that there's lost souls, Lord, that are amongst us, that we pray, Father, that you will convict their hearts, that they come to an altar of repentance and receive this wonderful gift of salvation, Lord. I understand the strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word, and I accept that place this morning. We ask, Lord, this morning that we could step out of the way, that you could be magnified and glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. So talking about worshiping, and I believe maybe a couple of weeks ago or so that Pastor Grant maybe had defined the word worship, but yeah, I was looking it up this week, and when you think about the word worship, and we're talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, I'm going to highlight more of the spirit part this week. Pastor Grant's going to come back next week and talk more on the truth, but I do believe that they correlate and work hand in hand with one another, and I'll explain that here in just a little bit. But when we think about this word worship, do we understand what worship is all about? I mean, and when I look this up, and we're talking about God here, it really means to publicly show honor and respect to God. So publicly to show honor and respect to God. So when we're thinking about worshiping in the Spirit, you know, you're thinking, well, that's said, so I've got an idea of maybe what worshiping in the Spirit is. Is it when I get a little tingly feeling down on the inside, or, you know, but yeah, that could factor into it at some point. But we're going to talk about worshiping in the Spirit this morning, and the understanding that is involved in order to worship God in spirit and in truth. So Jesus was here. So the chapter before, he went to someone that was well known, that was a scholarly in the Bible, and he began to tell Nicodemus, and he told Nicodemus there a few things about how you were supposed to be born again. And then he comes back, and he's with this woman at the well that you know, throughout her life, she had heard about Jesus, she'd done what she wanted to do, and kind of lived her life and stuff. But then he began to speak about her, but she mentioned to him, well, you know, we used to worship on the mountains here, and you've told us to go worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus starts highlighting a point where oftentimes that I think that in our minds as Christians, as individual, we often think that we have to be in a certain building or at a certain place before that we can truly worship God in spirit and in truth. And Jesus was kind of talking about this here. You really don't understand what you are worshiping, but she was more focused on the way than the how. And a lot of times we as individuals, we think, well, we can only worship God during the 15-minute section of the worship block when they're singing worship music. And oftentimes that's what we get in our mind, but that's not the worship starts before you ever get here. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth, it starts before you actually come to God's house. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But Jesus was explaining that worship is no longer confounded into a temple or on a mountain. But it comes, and he said, because I come, and we know that what Jesus said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And those that come, you know, come before God, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what he's trying to say here is that it's not about the where, but the how you worship God. Is it because of certain things that you think that you're supposed to do? And we'll dig into this of truly understanding what it means to worship God in the spirit. Worshiping in the spirit and to worship. So when you think about worship is to worship with everything in you. So when you think about worship with everything in you, the Bible says here, it says to love your Lord, here's with everything in you. He says to love the Lord with what? All your soul, your mind, and your strength. Tying that to everything in you, worshiping God in the spirit. So keep that in mind. Worshiping God in the spirit, the soul, the mind, and the strength, and being a true worshiper of the spirit of God. So to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And as we begin to talk about true spirit-centered worship, listen to this. You might want to write this down. True spirit-centered worship is where the mind, understanding the truth, activates the emotions in praise, adoration, and love toward God. So it's where the mind, you have to understand the truth, which activates the emotions in praise, adoration, and love toward God. So it's more than just about when we think of, I think a lot of times when we think of worshiping God in the spirit, we think, well, it's because somebody raises their hand that they worship God in the spirit. It's because somebody cries that they worship God in the spirit. It's maybe because someone bows their head or kneels, that's they're worshiping God in the spirit. No, because anybody can do that until you truly understand the truth of God's word, and it being activated on the inside of these emotions begin to stir up, okay, and activate this praise, adoration, and love toward God. Psalms 103, we sing a song about this. Here's what Psalms 103 says. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, soul, mind, strength. Bless his holy name. Bless his everything that is in me, expressing, responding to everything. And as a child of God and as a believer, how much has God really done for you? Has your week really been that bad? Has life really been a struggle? When you can all of a sudden with your soul, mind, and strength begin to think all that God has truly done for me. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy name, expressing everything that is within you. Let me ask you a question. Say this church collapsed or burnt down. Would you still be able to worship God on Sunday morning? Yes. Yes. We've got a wonderful place that God has blessed us with to be able to gather together as a body of believers to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we need to begin to activate this a little bit and think about how the soul, the mind, and our strength is all combined to this spirit-filled worship of this expression, this outward expression of love, of adoration and praise toward God the Father that is in heaven. God the Father that is in heaven, when in our heart, soul, and mind and affections, think about this, when you think about true worshiping God in the Spirit, when everything that is in you is completely impacted by Christ, there's an inward emotional connection that can't help but to respond. When I think about worshiping God in the Spirit, I can't help but worship God in the Spirit, because everything that is within me, knowing that God is in heaven, the Son gave his life, he died for us, was resurrected, is going to come back to take the bride home. So everything that is within me is banking on what God is telling us from his word, the truth. And God doesn't expect us to bottle that up and put a cap on it and save it for later. But he wants us to express that. He wants us to give him praise, adoration, and love toward him. And some people do that in many different ways. We'll talk about those in just a second. How many of you all, let me see a raise of hands. How many of you all love routine? Like you like your schedule? Yes, I am too, okay? I am too. I love routine. But you know what? Daggone it, sometimes routine makes me mad. Because I feel like that if something doesn't go right with that routine, then everything is just a mess. Everything, my whole day is ruined because on my notes, I've got it all typed out. And God forbid Pastor Grant wanted me to go do something else, or he had my list made out. Messing up my routine, man, my mojo there. And think about that. So, don't you? Sometimes you're just like, ooh, you're messing up my routine. Don't mess with that. Oftentimes, we do that same thing with church. We do that same thing with church. Let me give you a prime example. So we come in. Most of us eat breakfast. We walk into church. We look up and it says 5 minutes until worship service starts. Kind of clocks down, dee, 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 and we're sitting there, ooh. And then all of a sudden, we know song number one is going to be played. They're going to sing song number one. This is routine. This is good for my mind. I'm like, yes, this feels really good. And granted, we have to do certain things because we have three services. It's not like the old days when I was preaching one service. We go 4 hours if we want to. And all 25 preachers would preach, and that was all right. That was all right. We had this one service. 3-1, okay? It all worked out, okay? But we come in and we'll sing. We'll get about halfway through the song, and then you hear somebody say, well, now it's time to greet and shake someone's hand. Go to your neighbor and walk around and shake someone's hand. Yes, and then we do that. And then they come back. They finish the song out. We go to song number two. Song number two, we get to sing because routine, we just love routine. They sing song number two. Song number two, yay, okay. Guess what? Now time it is. Oh, there's these little blue baggies that are coming around that they hand out with a stick on them that says, oh, it's time to give offering. Oh, don't we love routine? And then they take that up and they get that out, and then we come in and then we're like, ooh, got another song left. We'll sing another song. And then all of a sudden we dismiss children. They go to children's church. The guy gets up here, begins, he stands to preach. And then we'll have a closing, have a song closing. Boom, it's routine. Well, daggone it, sometimes that's miserable. Because this morning during first service, guess what? The projectors didn't work. And that was out of routine. And boy, I thought, man, way to work it out, God. You got this all lined up for the sermon this morning. Got it all lined up. And then lo and behold, Terry's back there messing with my mic. Second service. So God knows what he's doing, and it's completely okay. It's completely okay to not have everything in routine. It is completely okay. Now, routine is good, and there's certain times that you must have that. But in church, man, we live by it all of our life. Why don't you come in and just be free? Why don't you come in and truly just lay it down before you ever walk in the doors and say, I'm not focusing on anything other than truly worshiping God in the Spirit and in the truth. Now, you're going to love this part, okay? Because worshiping God in the Spirit and truth, we say that it truly becomes to an understanding of the truth of God's word. And you're able to worship God in spirit and in truth because you understand God's word, okay? You understand it truly and you believe it fully, so you're able to know that the soul, mind, and strength, I am thanking God for his perfect plan. I am praising him. But guess what? Worship is done in many forms of expression. Yes, thank you, Pastor Grant, that you allowed me to preach on this. He's like, John, you think you can hand about preaching on in the spirit? I was like, dude, this is right in the wheelhouse, okay? Right in my wheelhouse. I can do this. And then I went and began to read and went through the Bible about these many forms of expression of worship and all that. How do you know? Hopefully someone is doing all of these because of what we talked about, because of their truth of the knowledge of truly understanding what God's word says, that Jesus did die. He did raise again on the third day, and he is coming back for us, that God did love us, that he gave his only son. Understanding that truth of the gospel, here's what the Bible says about forms of expression. Number one, Acts 2, 1 and 2, it says this. When the day of Pentecost came, They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were worshiping God in spirit just by sitting. That's a form of expression of worship. Here's another one. It says here in Psalms 95:6, it says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Form of expression, kneeling. Expression of worship is kneeling. Have you ever seen anybody kneel at this church? Form of expression of worship, okay? Here we're starting to get into the good stuff, a little charismatic stuff here, okay? Exodus 33:10 says this, whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped each at the entrance of the tent. Form of expression of worship, standing. So we've got sitting, kneeling, standing. And here's another one. In 2 Chronicles 29:30, it says this, King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David of Asaph, the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed their heads and worshiped. So now we've got people are worshiping God in the spirit by sitting, by kneeling, by standing, and by bowing their heads. Psalm 63:4 says this, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Lifting of hands. It's a form of expression of worship. Some people lift their hands. Have you ever seen that? Wow. Now I'm charismatic Baptist, okay? I've got a little, okay, so this one, all you Pentecostal and charismatic people are going to kind of like this one, okay? Here we go. So it says in Psalms 149:3, it says, let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with the tambourine and a harp. Woo, little MC Hammer going on in church. Come on now. Come on. See, we get such in a routine that we forget that God is saying, man, there's many forms of expression of worship. And don't allow someone raising their hands to bother you. Don't allow someone kneeling at an altar or at their seat to bother you. Don't allow someone, and here's what you got to realize, church. Just because you visibly don't see someone worshiping God, that doesn't mean they're worshiping, because you can worship God by visualizing how powerful and how wonderful the truth of God's word really is. Some people stand in church like this, and I'm like, dude, they're worshiping God right there. Because some people are not outwardly expressive. They don't express their love and adoration toward God that way. And guess what, Tammy? That's all right. But you know what is all right too? When you get happy singing for the Lord and raising your hands, that's all right too. Okay? And you know what? If you want to cut a little jig in your seat and you want to break it back and forth, hey, guess what? That's all right, too. So what we all ought to do when Pastor Grant comes back next week is all of y'all during the worship, you start doing this like his. And let's see how Pastor Grant handles that. Because we all know that he needs a little charismatic touch to him, just a little bit. So we all start shaking a little bit. We can plan that out. Trust me, that can be done. Pastor BJ would be all right with that, I promise you. But there's many forms of expression. You know, when we begin to think about these forms of expression, we think about the kneeling. You know, some people clap their hands. You know, some people bow their heads. They listen. They visualize. All of these are completely fine. And you know, and it's all right that sometimes that you're it's all right if you don't understand how someone is expressing their worship. That is completely fine. Because what worship is about, it's never about you. Here's where worshiping God in expression. Let me share you this story first. So when I was a young preacher, I just announced my calling to preach. And man, when you announce your calling to preach, a lot of you guys know that, man, you're just fired up. It's like when you're in church, you got the green light to preach all the time. And it's like, you're ready on your seat. And you're like, come on, give me just a little bit of spirit and you'll jump up. Well, I'm a big Southern gospel music fan. I love Southern gospel. I like our praise and worship too, the contemporary too. But I can listen to the Gaithers, the Happy Goodmans, and go down the road and be like, woo, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. The Cathedrals, who don't like George Jones? Come on, man. You don't like it. Come on. A lot of you guys are like, what's Southern gospel? Okay. Google it, okay? So I decided, well, when you do this is what happens. So back when I just announced my calling to preach, the Crabb family was huge. You guys know who the Crabb family is, Jason Crabb, all them. They were huge. They was just an uprising Southern gospel group that they were traveling everywhere, and they was at this high school close to where I live. And I thought, well, I'm going to go check them out. When you do that, you have to be ready for just about anything, okay? So we were there, and he's singing Through the Fire, and Jason Crabb's there, and he's like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. He's just praising the Lord, raising his hand, and you know, God's blessed him tremendously throughout his ministry and everything. And then all of a sudden, I'm standing there, and I'm like, yeah, take me through the fire again. I'm like, yeah, getting all my little praise on and stuff. And then all of a sudden, there was some dude, he jumped up. And I mean, I tell you, if you'd have put him in the Olympic trials, he'd have made the Olympics, because he ran through that gym and Jason Crabb's there singing with his eyes closed, and all of a sudden there was like this rush and the mighty wind going by him, and that dude went whoosh, and he was like, yeah, take me to the fire again. And to me as a young Christian, I'm like, what's that dude doing? And that was his form of expression of worship. Then I started digging, and here's when we talk about all these forms of expression of worship. Worshiping God in the Spirit. So you do all of these because you truly understand the truth, and there's an emotional connection that God's given you in your soul. Well, you understand that the whole Bible is the truth, and God's word is the truth, and he saved you and redeemed you, and you got a ticket to heaven because of what Jesus did. Yeah, you start understanding that, and you start praising him by kneeling, clapping, bowing, listening, visualizing. Some of you dance, whatever. But here's where the danger comes in. If I walk out of service and I say, boy, did you see that Caleb this morning? Man, he was breakdancing for the Lord. He was really getting on it. And I remember more about what Caleb did than what God did through that service. Then when sometimes we get in a form of expression of me worship. And that's where you have to be careful. All of these forms, God says in his Bible, all these forms, but you have to be careful that the worship never becomes about you. It's not ever about you. It's love, adoration, and praise toward God for all the truth and all the things that he stands for. That's why we do the things that we do. Because there's something down on the inside. There's this emotional connection that can't help but to respond. And I've shouted before, some of you will go, amen. I've been in a church where it sounds like a bunch of auctioneers. Amen, preach it, brother. And that's all right. And that's all right. That doesn't bother me in any sense of whatsoever, because I'm not going to picture heaven of thinking we're all going to be sitting here on our seat and be like, doo, 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 doo. Yeah, we're in heaven. There's God. There's Jesus. Hey, yay. No, dude, I believe there's going to be some praise and worship going on in heaven. And God gives us a little taste of that through his Spirit inside of a worship service where we can worship him in spirit, understanding the truth. So we understand the truth, which allows us to worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So think about this. So one way that we can respond to this good news of the gospel, this understanding the truth is we have what we have, the praise band, and they come and they lead us in worship, okay? And they have these songs. Do you know they just don't, like Pastor BJ doesn't just like, oh, that song sounds good. It's played on K-Love and it's popular. Let's just play that on Sunday morning. No, we sit in staff and Grant and him and I, we talk about these things, making sure that the song is scripturally true to what the word is saying. So, and you have to understand, so there's a lot more going on up here than just them singing a song. So we get the opportunity through this music to express ourselves outwardly, because there's something in us that wants to respond. So the point of the music is not to just stimulate your emotions. The point of the music is to give you an opportunity for your emotions to react to what your mind understands. So you're worshiping God in the spirit with everything that's in your soul, your mind, and your strength. And that music gives us the opportunity to do that. And that's powerful when you begin to think about, man, we can give God all the praise, honor, and glory and love that he deserves, because he has given us something that is true. You can't worship unless you understand the truth. You can't worship God unless you understand the truth. When you understand the deep and glorious truth of the scripture, the music then becomes a reflection of that. And the music helps give voice to the truth of the scripture. It helps give voice to that by someone raising their hands, by someone bowing their heads, by someone standing there and visualizing, by someone kneeling or standing. The music allows us to be able to express what God has done for us down in our heart and soul. So if you're not reading your Bible and you're not in his word and living a life for him, here's what worship is not. Worship is not doing what you want 6 days of the week and then on Sunday flipping a switch and coming in and saying, woo, I got my praise and worship on. Because guess what? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You can't go cuss someone out on social media and then come in and be like, woo, and get my praise on this morning. Because that then becomes a me-centered, focused worship is what that does. Okay, you can't come in and just say, hey, I'm going to flip this switch. Everything is going to be all right. I'll flip a switch. I'll be mad all week long, but I'll come in ready to praise God on Sunday. No, but understanding the truth of God's word, we ought to come expecting that just like everything that God has done from Genesis to Revelation, that everything that he's done, we ought to come expecting on Sunday morning that I can shut out the outside world, because darn it, I've been trying my best those 6 days, and today I'm determined I'm going to come in, and if God blesses me to raise my hands, I'm going to raise my hands. If he blesses me to kneel, I'm going to kneel. If he blesses me to shout, I'm going to shout. If I can dance, I'll dance. If God blesses me to do those things, I want to become expecting to say, God, whatever will give you that glory, I want to give you that love, adoration, and respect because of what you have done, because of the truth that you have given each one of us. That's what true worship is about. So why do we, you know, we've been going through this. It seems like this year has just flown by, but we've talked about praying, and we've talked about learning and worshiping and belonging and serving and giving and inviting. Through all of these things, you know, in all of these things, you can worship God in spirit. Through all of these things, you can do that. But at the end of the day, here's what it comes down. You can't worship God in the spirit if you ain't been born in the spirit. You can't do it. It's impossible to worship God in spirit and in truth if you don't know him in the spirit. And he says here plainly in his word in John 3:3, when he was speaking there to Nicodemus, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." At the end of the day, it comes down to everything that we do, these Engage the Seven, these series of sermons. It's not about, hey, what we want to see happen, but it truly, truly, Engaging the Seven, it's truly about sharing the good news of the gospels and opportunities to share the good news of the gospel with people so they can have what? A relationship with Jesus Christ. So I pray so people can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I learn so I can understand the truth, to share the truth so people can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I worship so people might be able to understand how much we truly love this God that we talk about. And I belong because we need a place that we can come together with a body of believers to worship him in spirit and in truth. So what? So somebody can get saved. I serve because somehow somebody's coming to this church because they were served a biscuit and got saved. If we can serve in some capacity, I hope and pray it's because we know that there is a deeper, truer meaning to it about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God knows everybody loved the 8-week giving sermon series. Everybody knows that. But why did Pastor Grant preach on that? Because you know where we're at. We've got a place together to worship God in spirit and in truth because of what God has blessed you all and because of what you tithe to his church. It ain't about us. It never is about us. It's truly about how can we make more opportunities so people can hear the truth of his word, so they can understand how to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we invite people, just like most of you have, you've invited people to this church so they could center on the gospel truth, so that they can know that God so loved him that he gave his only begotten son. So they could truly, truly understand and know that the Spirit allows us to worship. And that Spirit is we have this understanding that from Genesis to Revelation, this all is true. And our goal here this morning, yeah, we're going to praise and worship God in spirit and in truth. Because some of you understand what it's about. And I think some of you may even understand that, 6 days, and then I try to come in here, I don't feel as good as I could feel. And we're all guilty of that. But this morning, it truly is about how can we connect someone to this good news so that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he said, I'll go away, but I'll send a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. That comforter is the Spirit that's like talking to you right now. Like, I don't hear it talking to you, but you hear it talking to you. And you're like, what is that feeling? What is that? What is that? Why did my heart just like skip a beat then? What is that that feels at me? Is it just me getting emotional? No, it's you getting emotional about the truth, about what we're saying here. It's you getting emotional about that. And here's what I want you to think about all that God has done for you. Think about all that God has done for you. And when I think about it, and I hope that you guys can picture this too, when I think about all God has done for me, all I can do to pay him back is worship him. When I think about how lost that each one of us truly were, all I can do to pay him back is to worship him. Show my love and adoration toward God. Express what's down on the inside and respond to this emotional connection. When I think about this, when I think about where he brought me from, Tony, you've got stories, brother. We've talked about them. Where God has brought you, that wasn't you, buddy. That was the Spirit of God. We've all got stories. There ain't no reason why I should be right here in Mount Sterling, Kentucky. God should have took me out a long time ago. So when I think about where he's brought me from, all I can do, all I can help to do is thinking, man, I didn't need to worship him in the Spirit. And whatever that looks like, it's completely all right. Because do you realize the same Spirit that told Peter to get up and to go get with these men to share the gospel with the Gentiles, the same Spirit that told Paul, hey, guess what? Go down to Macedonia to share the gospel. The same Spirit that delivered Noah from the flood, that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire, the same Spirit that delivered Daniel from the mouths of the line, the same Spirit that told some little country boy from Ashland, Kentucky to go start a church in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, the same Spirit that's telling you as a husband, you as a wife, you as a teacher, you as a teenager, you as a leader, you as a servant, you as an inviter, you as a giver, you as an addict, you as someone that is lost, you that is someone that is an alcoholic, that same Spirit that has been working from Genesis to Revelation is the same Spirit that is activated in your heart and soul this morning. That same Spirit that is drawing you down to an altar, whether it's to kneel, whether it's to stand and raise your hands, whether it's to clap a little bit, whether it's to shout the praises of God and say, wow, glory, because guess what? That's all right too. Whether it's to dance a little bit and shake it, that's all right too, because where the Spirit is present, guess what? That's where God is present. And wherever God is present, that's where I want to be. So church, let's quit thinking about it ain't done my way, so I'm going to sit here. No, let's do it God's way. Let's get excited about something that God has given us. Let's praise God this morning and let's express it openly and say, God, I know that you're present. And they're going to sing us a song about new wine. You guys go ahead and come on out. They're going to sing us a song about new wine. And I'm telling you, routine will get you in trouble. But man, if all of a sudden, if we could just break loose. Man, if we could just throw it. We talked about the chains that fell off me. Well, let's show God that the chains has fallen off of you. Because they're going to sing a song, and this song is going to allow you to express how much you love, how much you are so thankful for God. It's going to allow you to express that. And guess what it's going to do at the end of the day? And this is what we are all about. It's going to allow somebody the opportunity to know that God loved them in the shape that they're in the condition that they're in. Whether it be coming from an abusive relationship, like I said, an alcoholic, an addict, or just a plumb dirty sinner, it's going to allow them to know that God loved them. And he sent his son to die so that you and I, and so that they would have that opportunity to respond to the Spirit of God. Worship God in spirit. Because guess what? We understand the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we pray, God, that we know that you're in the midst of this place and your Spirit is present. You're already speaking to people. If it's somebody in the praise band that needs to move, let them move, Lord. If it's somebody sitting in the booth or out there in the cafe, let them move, Lord. But God, you've got several hundred of people sitting right here waiting to express their love and adoration to you. And we're so thankful that we've got a place together to do that. And we pray this morning that if there's someone that's lost, that they'll come down, Lord, to an altar here, and we'll pray with them that you would save their soul from the pits of hell and give them something that Lord, that their heart would be able to rejoice, where they can truly understand what it means to worship you in the Spirit. And we ask all these things, God, to give you the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.